have joined us from South Oklahoma and South Texas already joining us, and I know that we have many others out there. That's one of the reasons why we have chosen what for us is the lunch hour from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, so that we can have people coming in and out of our Bible study together. And I know that there are some who will be watching or listening to this in a later time frame. And then there are different venues. We have some that join us on YouTube Live at the Nesbitt Church of Christ channel. There are some that join us on the TGRN radio side, that is the gospelradionetwork.org. We have some that join us on WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area, and we're certainly thankful for all of those who join us in our Bible study. And let's see here. I do want to make mention of a couple of things before we begin. I certainly want to thank all of those who are joining us. If you're joining us for the first time, let me just mention that you can chat with us in the YouTube channel. There is a live chat feed, and you can chat with us there. We enjoy the chat. Not every chat makes it to the air, but we are grateful for that. You can also contact us by calling 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. That's our phone number latched in today, and you can send us a text on that as well if you prefer. All right, let's see, what else do we have before we get started? I want to send an invitation to you, if you're listening to us via the Nesbitt Church of Christ in Nesbitt, Mississippi, where I serve as the local gospel preacher, and certainly grateful that they allow me the opportunity to be with you each and every weekday, Monday through Friday. And so I want to deliver this invitation from them to you, that if you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, that you would come and join us every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Now, if you're wondering where Nesbitt, Mississippi is, if you're new to the program, then it's in the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee. If you're an old fogey as far as the radio and television work is, then you know that you know what I'm going to say in regards to that. All right, well, let's see here. What else do we have before we get started here? The 5th Annual Men's Development Conference is coming up June the 2nd through the 6th, and that's at the BCS Church of Christ in College Station, Texas. You can see their website. Once again, that's the BCS Church of Christ in College Station, Texas. See their website for further details, or you can contact me privately at rickpopejoy@gmail.com, and I'll be glad to send you as much information as I possibly can. Good to see Sister Jensen with us from the wonderful state of Washington. And good that the inspection on your mom's house, I'm glad that that is going well, selling in 20 minutes. That is a wonderful thing. And I hope that she gets settled in with you and your sister. Sister Joyce now joins us from Texas. Good to have you with us as well. I see that Miss Mona is also with us. Always good to have all of our wonderful Bible students. All right, let's see here. I can't think of anything else that we just need to make sure. So I want to, again, give you the foresight of putting in your prayer request. I see Sister Jensen's there with her mom's house, And that is great news. But if you have a prayer request, that you would send those to me in the chat window. And while the song, Walking on Heaven's Road, our song is going on, then we will take those prayer requests, and then we will have the prayer following that. All right, so let's see if we can get started here with Walking on Heaven's Road.
Who's that walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load? Sinner, lay your burden down, you're walking on Heaven's Road. And when you're walking on Heaven's Road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me, praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that Heaven's Road? Ain't no people crying there, ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear, you're walking on Heaven's Road. And when you're walking on Heaven's Road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me, praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that Heaven's Road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn, we're walking on Heaven's Road. And when you're walking on Heaven's Road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me, praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way, I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that Heaven's Road? Won't you come along and join me on that Heaven's Road?
All right, my friends, once again, a beautiful song, great encouragement, and I do want to make mention of a couple of things. There is a sheriff's deputy here that was, we mentioned yesterday, that was hit. And he, I believe, if I remember right, and I can look it up just in a half second here, that he did lose a leg or a foot, and that the other leg is not doing very well. He lost one foot, and the other leg is not so hot. He's still in the hospital. Officer Eldridge, and he is a DeSoto County deputy. We certainly want to keep him and his family in our prayers. We mentioned a fireman, and we have a police officer that is a member of the congregation here, and a fireman that is a member of the congregation here. So we have connections with regards to that. And one of the firemen, his co-worker, I did find out last night she was found, and hopefully we'll have more information that we can share with you, but we want to make sure that those things are of a public nature before we can do so. But I do want you to keep both of these individuals in our prayer list. Well, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer then. Our most righteous and loving Father in heaven, as we stand before thee, we do so in recognition, in humble recognition, that thou art an awesome and majestic and holy God, and that we do not belong within thy presence save for the blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ. The willingness that he expressed and demonstrated upon the cross is truly a magnificent thing, a wonderful thing, and we pause to give thee praise and adoration for that scheme of redemption that would be so designed, and with such a an event as the brutality of the cross, and that through that shed blood that our sins could be forgiven. And Father, it's with great sadness that we do stand before thee, that we would realize that it was our sins that kept Jesus and took him to the cross, that we had so sinned in such a way and were in such great need of thy matchless love, that Jesus would have to die upon the cross in such a cruel way. We beg thy forgiveness for our sins in relationship to that, and we ask our Heavenly Father, knowing the power that is invested in that blood, that you would apply it and remember our sins no more. We're also mindful, our Heavenly Father, of the wonderful providential blessings that you have given to men, the creation of this world, in such a way as continue its fruit of creation throughout the seasons and throughout even so far removed from creation itself. We are blessed with the providential nature of the fruit that is upon our tables and in our cabinets, and we're thankful, our Heavenly Father, for all of those wonderful blessings, for the great providential care that you demonstrated for us in the fact that we would be allowed to discover those medical breakthroughs that would allow us to take care of our fellow man, and the hospitals and the doctors and the nurses and the caregivers that give such great attention to us. We're so appreciative of those things, and we know that all good and perfect gifts stem from thee. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of certain individuals that are on our prayer list, Sister Jensen with her mother, especially as they are moving her into a new area close to them so that they can take care of her in a better capacity. We pray for the sale of that house and that care that Sister Jensen and others will give will be beneficial in the care of her mother. We realize, our Heavenly Father, that life is a dangerous place, and that there are dangers that await us as we walk out our door, and that some jobs are more dangerous than others. We pray for Officer Eldridge and his care. We pray for the nurses and the doctors and the caregivers and the family that are a part of that care, and we pray that he might have the strength of determination, the strength of will to be able to survive and to benefit through this. We pray that the gospel might be brought to him so that he might understand all that life has to offer. We're mindful also of the missing firefighter, fireman who was missing, and that we're thankful for her safe return, and we pray that those things that might have caused that action to occur might be taken away from her. But we're thankful for her safety indeed. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. We do have another song after we tie in and attach ourselves today to Brother Bonner. And I wish we could do this live, and maybe one of these days we will figure out how to do this live. But until we figure out how to do it live, we're just going to do it the old-fashioned way. He sent me a word of encouragement, and I want to share that word of encouragement with you today. Here's what he has to say. You see what you aim at. Therefore, be careful what you aim at. What you aim at determines the way you see the world around you. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, Hebrews 12:2. Set your affections on things above, Colossians 3:1-3. Reach forward to those things that are ahead. Forget those things that are behind, Philippians 3:13-14. So if the world is negative to you, consider your aim. If the world is positive to you, consider your aim. Here is the sum of the matter. Think on the Word of God and allow His wisdom to check your emotions and logic, thus seeing things for what they are. And then he ends by saying, have a wonderful Thursday. And so we certainly hope that we can do just that. All right, a song that I introduced the other day in relationship to another one of Paul Mays' songs is entitled Pearls of Wisdom, and I thought that the song flowed really well with the concept that we're talking about with regards to the seven pillars of wisdom. And so here is this song, Pearls of Wisdom.
Our Heavenly Father has shown the way to live and to serve Him, and what to say in every part of this brief earthly life. God loves His children as He shows us light. Pearls of wisdom from Thy Word, where Jesus imparts His loving care for the world. Pearls of wisdom, may I, Lord, take the truth You offer in inspired word. As struggles hinder Your walk in the Lord, the answers are found in His inspired word. For every temptation He's made an escape. Give up Your life and let the Lord reshape. Wisdom from Thy Word, where Jesus imparts His loving care for the world. Precious wisdom, may I, Lord, take the truth You offer in inspired word. So take what He offers and reap the reward. A life spent in service blesses You all the more. The light God has shown us is pure through and through. Live as He wants us to, and you'll see the truth. Precious of wisdom from Thy Word, where Jesus imparts His loving care for the world. Precious of wisdom, may I, Lord, take the truth You offer in inspired word. Pearls of wisdom from Thy Word, where Jesus imparts His loving care for the world. Pearls of wisdom, may I, Lord, take the truth You offer in inspired word.
Amen. Once again, we have a beautiful song, and it certainly reminds us of the pearls of wisdom that God has invested in His word. You know, some of those pearls of wisdom find themselves embedded in the book of Proverbs, and especially in the animal and number numerical proverbs. And today we begin with a combination of both of those. There are six things which the Lord hates, yea, seven which are an abomination unto Him. That's one of the numerical proverbs, but there are proverbs that are just about animals as well. How about this one? Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. That's an animal proverb. But now, sometimes in the book of Proverbs, Solomon will, or the writer will, include both numbers and animals together. For example, in our text today in Proverbs chapter 30, you'll notice in verse number 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth. That's number, right? Four. There are four things which be little upon the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. Now, the list of the four things are a list of animals, or we might say animals and insects in relationship to that. But the ant, for example, says that the ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. And so the item that is listed for us as far as their wisdom is their wisdom to prepare. So preparation is a part of wisdom, and in fact, that is one of the elements that we talked about with regards, and we'll get to the specifics of that when we dive into each of these seven pillars. But you remember that the first pillar was advanced preparation. Well, how about the conies then that he mentions next? They're feeble folks, but they make their houses in the rocks. They have not just preparation now, but protection is important in regards to these things. The locusts, they have no king, but they go forth in bands of unity, or they go forth, all of them, by bands. So the emphasis of unity is absolutely essential. So preparation, protection, and then the ideal of unity, working together. There is certainly an important aspect of that. So in some of those we talked about, right? Orderly organization, wise delegation. We talked about strategic communication. All of those are things that would go along with the locust illustration. But then how about the spider? The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. And so the nature of the spider, or the work of the spider with her hands to build a net in order to catch food, and you can't keep spiders. I don't care what you do. You can invite that Orkin man in all that you want to, and you'll still find spiders somewhere in your house. Even in the king's house, he can't keep the spiders out. Now, you may keep some of them out. You may keep most of them out, but you just can't keep all of them out, right? And so the persistence of the spider is one of its greatest assets in regards to that. And so that is one of those items that certainly demonstrate for us the great wisdom of the Book of Solomon's, and or the Book of Solomon, in noticing these four things. They're small things, but they are exceedingly wise. And I find, you know, in English, we don't oftentimes do this. I suppose there are times in which our language demands that we do this, but very seldom do we combine two words together to make something abound or exceeding. In the Hebrew, it's not the word exceeding. It's the word wise. Now, one is an adjective and one is a verb, but they're back to back. They're really the same word, and it's wise. There are four things that are wise. So when we do that, we're doubling up on the word wise, so it means it is exceeding wise. Now, in Hebrew, as well as in Greek sometimes, that is done for emphasis sake. And so the best way for us to express it, it would not really come across very appropriate in the English language for us to say that there are that there are four things that are wise. We'd kind of shake her head, and I don't know what that means, wise. But In the Hebrew, it makes perfect sense. And so we would say exceeding wise. And so this woman in Proverbs chapter 9, this wise woman, wisdom, hath builded her house, and she hath hewn out seven pillars. So wisdom has seven pillars associated with it. So that's what we are dealing with. But this week, what I wanted to deal with is, first of all, a survey or a in-depth understanding of wisdom itself. What are we talking about when we talk about wisdom, and to survey over the seven pillars of wisdom? But here's what we're going to do beginning next week. Now, tomorrow is Friday. That's Open Mic Friday. And Lord willing, we will get to your questions. So if you have any questions, and I know that we have one from 2 weeks ago that I need to get to, and we will deal with that one first. And we have some other questions, but you're certainly welcome to send me your questions either in the chat window. You can send it to me on my phone at 405-428-2440, or you can send it to me at my email at rickpopejoy@gmail.com. Any one of those will get me your question so that we can answer those. But here's what we're going to do today. I thought about this, and I thought, you know, this would be, we're just going to have, this is a Q&A in regards to wisdom. For example, what, who, and how? Those are the three questions that I really want us to focus on today. What is a wise person? That is, I want us to notice some of the characteristics of what the Bible says is a characteristic of a wise person. That will help us to better understand what wisdom is. And then I want to ask, who is a wise person? This is more of, and I hate to say a biographical study, because it's not going to be a lengthy, intense biographical study of any one person's life, but there are several people that are described as wise in the Bible and how they acted, and I want us to notice that. And then the third question is how. How do I obtain wisdom? This is more operational, application. In other words, it's, okay, I see what it is. I see who possessed it, and I want to be like them, but how do I get there? So it's more operational. How do I operate in order to get to that particular aspect? And so those are the three areas that I want to make sure that we cover today. And so again, we're talking about wisdom and her seven pillars. So what are the characteristics of a wise person? What is a wise person? Well, as you can imagine, most of our passages, if not all of them, are going to stem from the book of Proverbs. It has a great deal to say, does it not, about wisdom. In fact, that seems to be the very theme of at least the first 10 chapters of the book of Proverbs, that Solomon wants to train up his son to be wise. Now, Solomon did not always exhibit wisdom in his life. And what we know about Rehoboam, his son, is certainly he did not follow the wise advice of his father. In fact, let's just go ahead and turn over to 1 Kings, and I want you to notice in 1 Kings chapter 12. Let's just look at chapter 12 here, and I want you to notice that chapter 12, actually chapter 11 and verse number 41 through 43 gives us the transition. It says, "And the rest of the acts of Solomon, and all that he did, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, you remember that as we talk about Solomon, that Solomon was one who possessed a great deal of wisdom. But yet, we find earlier in chapter 11 that there were at least two occasions that he did not listen to God. And so, in characteristic-wise, think about verse number 4. It says, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father." Now that phrase, "as your father David," or "as his father was," is repeated multiple times in this context. For example, look at verse number 6. "And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord." By the way, notice the parallelism there. And that's really what it is. There are two statements that are running parallel with regards to that. Notice what it is. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, what's evil in the sight of the Lord? Not following fully after the Lord. So notice here, and it says, "as did David his father." So there's something. Now, David sinned. We know of David's sin. It was a horrific sin. He stole one of his most trusted SEAL Team 6, Secret Service, whatever you call these, the mighty men of David. He stole his wife, and he murdered that man in order to marry his wife. It was a horrific sin. God recognized how horrible it was as well. And yet, David understood his fault and repented with a sincere heart. Now, there's something that separates David and Solomon in regards to this. So, but I want you to notice here, verse number 12, "Notwithstanding the days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake." Verse 13, "Howbeit, I will not rend away the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David thy father's sake." Notice the difference. Now, we're talking about a transition between Solomon and Rehoboam. So notice how this goes in chapter 12. "And Rehoboam went into Shechem with all that came to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass that Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that he sent and called him." Now I want you to notice what takes place. It says that they want a lighter yoke now that Solomon is dead. And it says that King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, "How do you advise that I may answer this people?" They said, "Lighten the yoke," right? Now then in verse number 10, it says, "And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto the people." In other words, you tighten the yoke. You whip them. Solomon whipped you with whips, but I will whip you with scorpions if you don't do what I said. In other words, Rehoboam, if you're going to establish your kingdom, if you're going to establish it, you must be stronger and meaner than your father Solomon was. Well, notice what transpired in verse number 16. It says, "So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we an inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed to their tents." What happened here was the fact that the kingdom is now going to be divided. Judah and Benjamin are going to be combined into one tribe, and then the rest of the tribes are going to depart. That's a sad thing. There's a lot of rebellion that is going to build off of this as well. And Brother McReynolds is here with us, and he mentions what defines a wise person: someone who seeks counsel, a person who seeks God continually and remembers that God, what God has done in your life. 1 Chronicles 16:11-12. That's exactly right. And in the beginning, Chris, we talked about definitions and how important it is for us to be able to see that Bible wisdom is converting things to the best, most practical, spiritual way. And so it's recognizing that every good gift stems from God, but it must be utilized to the benefit of God as well, and to the glory, we should say, of God. So we're talking about these characteristics, and we see that Solomon, even though he was the wisest man on the face of the earth, did not give heed to wisdom. And Rehoboam, even though Rehoboam was trained by Solomon, that's really what the book of Proverbs is all about. You could just as easily read when it says in chapter 1 in verse number 8, "My son," you could say, "My son Rehoboam, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake." Now he's training all of his children, but I want us to be able to see the personal nature of Rehoboam here. Rehoboam had access to all of this. Solomon may have spoken these words to him personally, but he certainly had record of all of this, and he didn't live by it either, did he? And so Rehoboam is certainly, by the way, Rehoboam is not on our list as a wise individual, as one who is wise, or does he ever demonstrate the characteristics of wisdom. So let's look at some of these characteristics. Proverbs 9 and verse number 8. A wise person will love the one who rebukes him. Now, this may be the hardest principle to start with, but it's the most important. The humility of a wise man is seen in his ability to appreciate the person who is rebuking him. The text says, "Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." It's not rebuke a wise man and he'll appreciate the fact that you're a person who speaks your mind. It's he will love thee. He's going to love, not just the rebuke, but he loves the fact that you were willing to do that. But now, a wise man is a man who considers the lessons of nature. Remember the proverb that we talked about, the animal proverbs, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways." One of the greatest things that we could do is, sometimes we study the Bible, and we study the Bible from the vantage point of just learning about certain kinds of principles, and we study it and we move on. But you know, there's so much more to our study, and I want you to hear me out very clearly on this. There's so much to our study of God than just the Bible. Now, I realize the Bible is the foundation of all that we understand about God. But Proverbs 6 and verse number 6 and Proverbs 30 and verse number 24, there are four things that are small and wise at the same time. All of these are things that are in relationship to the animal kingdom that's out there, the insect kingdom. We could look at we could study the astrology and astronomy and architecture and things of the things that we can study in life should cause us to reflect upon the nature of God. That God is who he claims to be, and he is a magnificent God indeed. So a wise man will consider the lessons of nature and shows and be able to see the God of nature. You know, oftentimes our forefathers would speak of God in this fashion. Instead of the God of the Bible, they would say the God of nature. In other words, you should be able to comprehend certain things. There are certain inalienable rights that a man has, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Where do these come from? They come from the God of nature, the God who created nature and who reveals himself through the natural order of things. Psalm 19 in verse number 1, right? The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament his handiwork. God is constantly, every time the sun rises, and it rises, by the way, in the east, sets in the west every single day. The consistency of God is clearly seen in regards to the natural order of things. We ought to be able to look at that, and we ought to be able to see the glory of God manifested, the power, the knowledge, and the fact. Listen, God, the God of nature must be an omnipotent God in order to create and maintain all that we see around us. The God of nature must be an omniscient God to have the wisdom to put all of this together. But he also must be an omnipresent God. That is, he must be everywhere present at all times to be able to know what is going on and to be able to know how to engage in all of this. You see, not just any God could have brought this universe and continue to maintain this universe. So a wise man will be able to see the natural order. That tells you why in Psalm 14 in verse number 1, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It is a fool. By the way, there are at least five categories of fools that are spoken of in the pages of God's Word, and especially throughout the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a contrast between the wise, the foolish, and the simple man. A simple man, by the way, is a much better man than a fool. But there are simple fools. They believe every word that is spoken to them. They're always looking for a leader, somebody to follow rather than God. They're ignorant of cause and effect. How often in the book of Proverbs do you see a man presented, a fool, and he doesn't understand that the things that he is doing is affecting, and he doesn't understand the relationship between those two. He's corrupted by scorning fools. By the way, that's another category. But then there's the silly fool. The silly fool seeks for a good time. You know those kind of people. Hey, I'm just in it for the good time. That's all I want out of life. But the silly fool has fun breaking the rules. Oh, it's exciting. It's exhilarating to do to engage in that kind of behavior. There's a sense of I could get caught, right? And so there's fun in breaking those rules. He seeks the wrong kind of friends. Don't seek after those who are, Proverbs chapter 1, Sister Woodall says she loved that chapter. How about chapter 1, right, and verse number 10? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He says, my son, walk not with them in the way, verse number 15, with them. Refrain thy foot from them as well. And so they're always seeking the wrong kinds of friends, and they may have guilt about their wrongdoing, but they love it too much. It's the passion of the foolishness that they are engaged in. Then there's the sensual fool. The sensual fool engages in immorality. That's his foolish nature. He's involved in drugs and bad habits. Anything that can get him a high and can get him to feel, you know, I feel alive when I'm doing this. That's that kind of person. And by the way, this kind of fool is a fool that is skilled in deception. See, if I'm going to sneak around on my wife, I've got to deceive my wife and other people. If I'm going to buy some drugs, I got to be skilled in being deceptive of people. Then we talked about that scorning fool, right? This is the fool that is proud of the evil that he exploits and engages in. He creates contention among people. This is the kind of fool that loves when two people, friends, are even divided by this kind of fool. This is the kind of fool that you will find quite a bit of in Proverbs chapter 6, right? A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that run swift in mischief, those kind of things. That kind of fool is a dangerous man indeed. But then there's this committed fool that is important. He has a seared conscience. I mean, he's committed to his fool, like a lot of atheists and naturalists and materialists today. They are committed to their cause, and they've seared their conscience. It's almost as if there are certain people that cannot be pricked with the gospel. It only cuts straight through. And those are dangerous people as well. They believe that wrong is right. They do believe this. They are committed to this cause. They turn good into evil and evil into good, Isaiah 5 and verse number 20. They're the kind of people, and I heard this a person arguing this before a Senate panel. It was abortion is moral. And it just shocked me. I mean, but that's this committed fool in regards to this. They have that seared conscience in regards to that. So a wise man will consider the natural order of things, and they will always be able to see things in relationship to God. All right, I must hasten on, or I'm going to run out of time. But a wise son delights in the heart of his father, Proverbs 10 and verse number 1. Makes his father glad, it says. A wise person loves the law of God. Brother Chris mentioned something earlier. Says wisdom tells us continual study God's word so that we can better understand his heart more. He mentions a couple of times in his definitions about those things, and that's what we're talking about. We love the law of God. The wise in heart will receive commandments, Proverbs 10 and verse number 8. Wise person controls his tongue, right? I've heard many people say, "Listen, I'm gonna tell you my mind." Well, I don't need to know your whole mind. And in fact, not only do I not need to, I don't want to hear your whole mind. There are some things you ought to keep to yourself. And Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 19: "He that refraineth his lips is wise." Or how about this one? We know this one, right? "He that winneth souls is wise," Proverbs 11 and verse number 30. To be able to bring people out of wickedness and into the light of truth, that is a wise man. To be able to help people to understand, I'm taking a series, or I'm going through a series of classes from an Oxford professor online, and he's a not a New Testament Christian, but he is a theist, and he believes in the Christ of the Bible. But one of the things that he says is when he's lecturing, he will get people to say to him, "Why is it that no one has ever told me this?" A wise person is able to communicate the truths of God in such a way that it compels people to say, "Why haven't I heard this before?" And with an interest of love toward that. Well, let's see. I do need to transform, because in fact, I may save the second of the who to another time. And I want to deal with the practical application of this now. And that is, how do I get, if I lack what we're talking about this week, and I think we're all to some extent lacking in some areas, no doubt. I want to know more. I want to engage more. I want to have more wisdom. It's not something that once you get, you don't need any more, right? It's something that when you get, you're always trying to obtain more. And so notice how. How we get wisdom. What is the operation? Number one, you will never get wisdom if you don't want it. I do believe this is a part of what James chapter 1 and verse number 5 is talking about. Number one, you have to want it. And number two, in John 7 and 17, if any man will to know his will, right? That you have to desire to have wisdom in your life. If you're satisfied with who you are and what you know about life, then you will never desire, you'll never grow in wisdom. Wisdom is something that must be desired. James chapter 1 and verse number 5, right? When it talks about if any one of you lack wisdom, ask of God. Ask, right? I lack it, so I need to ask. By the way, that implies that I need to know where wisdom is, right? I need to ask the right person in regards to that. So there has to be a desire and a willingness to ask and search out the right places for wisdom. These are operational things that I'm talking about here. And number two, if I know the right place and the right place is God's Word, then I need to study God's law, right? Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. I wonder, you know, people used to make a joke about members of the body of Christ that if you ever lacked a Bible to put your hand on in court, well, you just find a member of the church and you put your hands on their head. They know the Bible, in other words. They know it so well, it's equal to the Bible itself. That's how they know it. That used to be said of us. In other words, it used to be said that this was a wise and understanding people. I wonder what is being said in relationship to us today. Well, we do, or we must study the Word of God in order to gain wisdom. That's where it is found. So you must desire it, you must ask for it, and you must be willing to go to the right place to find it. And how about this one in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now you find that in chapter 1 and verse number 7. But you also find it in Proverbs 9 and verse number 10. So the fear of the Lord, the respect, the reverence, that I'm not just reading some old, ancient, archaic history book or some fable here. I am reading, this is God's book. And as such, I am respecting and valuing the principles that are stated there. By hearing and continuing to receive instruction is such an important, it demonstrates that humility that you were talking about earlier. Proverbs 8 in verse number 33 says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Give instruction, Proverbs 9 in verse number 9, to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. And I love this one, and we may have to just pause our study on this one, but I think this is so important. Seek it early. So many people, and I say so many people, I would be included in that. But that transgenerational education, help your children to seek it early, right? I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, this is wisdom talking, and those that seek me early shall find me, Proverbs 8 and verse number 17. Oh, there's a great deal we could say about wisdom and how important wisdom is in regards to this. I see that Sister Jensen stays calm. Wisdom stays calm in the face of chaos. That is true. That is that when you look throughout the Bible and you see the wise men of the Bible, they are men who stayed their ground. They were steady. They were solid men in the face of all the difficulties. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not careful to answer you, O King. In other words, we're just going to tell you straight out. We will not bow down. If we die in that fire, we will not bow down. They were calm in the face of chaos. Daniel went into his room and did exactly as he did the days before. He prayed to God. When he went into the lion's den, it doesn't say they were dragging him in there. He was calm in the storm. I love that song that we introduced even yesterday. So these are things that are important when we talk about wisdom. Now, next week, we're going to begin the specifics of those seven items. And those seven items of the pillars of wisdom, and we'll talk at least one session. So we've got seven more sessions to deal with. I want to thank you in regards to our Bible study today, and I appreciate all of the comments that were made. My humble apologies, we were not able to get to all of them, but my friends, thank you for joining me today on Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine.